Today's shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Aleph. We will begin on Daf Mem Amud Beis at the Mishnah, the new Perek. Perek Dosha says, "Psilei lehem tisrafun be'esh v'leisavi teve be'secha v'chayisa cherem ken mayhu." Torah is very strict about anything that is a sculpture and Avodah Zarah. The Torah says, "Layibak b'yotchem umam min acherim." From here we learn that Avodah Zarah, as we discussed previously in our Masechta, is also b'hanah. Now our Mishnah now begins to discuss what is in the category of Avodah Zarah, and teaches us the Mishnah kolat slomim, any type of sculpture that of a person or of different objects that are worshipped, asur asurim, you may not have any hanah from them. And the reason, says the Mishnah, they are worshipped even just once a year, divrei meir. And since they're worshipped even once a year, it's enough to put it into the category of avodah zarah. The Chacham ena osur. The Chacham take a more lenient approach. The Chacham's approach is ena osur shiyesh biyodai, only if it has in its hand makel, a stick, tzipur, a bird, kader, a ball. Then it's a proof. That shows that this is an avodah zarah, and then it's going to be asur b'hanah. Shimon Gamliel Omer, a third opinion. Kosh yesh b'yodei kol davar, as long as this sculpture is holding anything, then the halacha is that it's asur. So the issue of our Mishnah is because we always need to be concerned, perhaps, that this sculpture was worshipped as avodah zarah. And once we have that concern, the halacha is that it's asur. Rameyer is stricter because he's concerned, as we're going to learn, for the remote possibility, and the Rabbanan are more lenient. Of course, when we speak about this question, the question that comes up is what is or isn't included in this concern. As the Paiskim say, certainly coins that have images engraved in them are not considered avodah zarah. The most commonly asked question is regarding a cross. What is the halacha of a cross? And Rama in Yerideya Simon Kuf Mem Aleph of Aleph says, Tzelem, Tzurah Shesiveri, a cross, Shemishtachem Veloi, that people bow down to, Dine Kedin Tzelem V'Osser, it has the halach of avodah zarah and it's asur. Aval, shesiv v'sharev shetzorim b'tzavar. The people wear a cross around their neck, lezichroim, to remind them whatever they want to remind. Mikri tzelem, it's not in the category of a tzelem, it's mutter. And therefore, he says, the question comes up, if you meet an individual that is wearing a cross, are you allowed to show him honor? Because there's a concern that by showing him honor, you're showing honor to the avodah zarah. So he says that l'chatchila one should be machmer, but b'di'evid one could be lenient. And as the Shach explains, unless we know for certain that this tzelem that's being worn by this individual is worshipped, the halacha is that it's not, we don't have to be concerned that it's an avodah zarah. Ramosh in the Shalos Tshuva Sigrus Moshe Yerideya Chelik Aleph Simon Samach Tes also takes a very lenient approach regarding the cross, and says that they wear it, but it doesn't necessarily in any way represent that it's meant to be an avodah zarah. It's not meant to be worshipped as avodah zarah. One could be lenient. Certainly, when we have a cross that is on a stamp, or cross that's on a flag, some countries have a flag that has a cross on them, says that doesn't have any real meaning. And that's part of the symbol of their country. Just like a Magen David is part of the Israeli flag, the cross is part of those flags. It doesn't have a religious connotation. The Shevet Alevi was asked about entering into a car that some people have a cross, let's say, hanging in the car, a taxi. Is somebody allowed to go into such a taxi? He says that one is allowed to go into such a taxi, certainly if you already went into the taxi, but even in general, those are not considered a avodah zarah. Similarly, there are countries that have a cross on their currency. Also, it's not meant to be an avodah zarah. The Shaul Satshuvas Shoyle Meshiv discusses where there's in certain countries they give medals to citizens, and the medal may look like a cross or have a cross in it. Again, are you allowed to accept that medal? It doesn't mean that it's meant for avodah zarah. And of course, the same question comes up regarding manufacturing or selling crosses that are worn as jewelry. And again, according to the approach of the Ramah, then that meant as an avodah zarah, and therefore there's room for leniency. But I did see that the Shaul Satshuvas Arugas Habayisim takes a stricter approach regarding these things and suggests that one should try to avoid them if at all possible. Says the Gemara, Ramei began the Mishnah by saying that the Tzlamim are worshipped once a year and therefore they should have the status of Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara if that's the fact, Eden Avodah Pamach B'Shana, if they worship once a year, my tam the Rabbanon, why would the Rabbanon be lenient? Answers the Gemara, Amar Avitza by Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, M'kai Mishra Meir Ha'ya Oivdeno Yisrael Pamach B'Shana. In Ramea's place, they would worship them once a year. Ramea, whose opinion is the Chayash L'miutai, that even something that is uncommon, we take into consideration, as we learned the opinion of Ramea. The halacha is that if a man unfortunately passes away without any children, his wife has to have yibam of chalitza. But the halacha of yibam chalitza is only applicable to somebody who's not a soros or an islandess, somebody could have children. And the question that comes up: what will be the halacha if you have a boy or a girl who we don't know for certain is not a soros or an islandess? Are they candidates for yibam chalitza or not? And the opinion of Ramei is he's chayish l'miyutoi. We have to be concerned that might be the situation. And because we have to be concerned that might be the situation, they can't have Yim Chalitza. The Rabbanon are not concerned, because the Rabbanon's opinion is that since it's so uncommon that Baruch Hashem people should be an islandess or a soros, we don't have to be concerned, and they could do Yim Chalitza. So the Gemara is saying that our Ramei of our Mishnah is following his opinion that we have everywhere else, the chayish l'miyutai, that something that happens infrequently, he's still concerned about. And therefore he said, the tzlamim that are in other places, even though they're not worshipped, are to oisamakam, because there are places that they are worshipped. And if we're going to allow you to use those tzlamim, you may come to use even the tzlamim in places that are, you may come to use the tzlamim in even in a place where it is worshipped for avodah zarah. Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan opinion is loy chayish l'miyutei. They're not concerned about something that doesn't usually help happen. The gazru, therefore, since the tzlamim are so infrequently used, the gazru shamakaymus ata isamakim. In other words, the opinion of the Rabbanan is that in a place that the Tzelem is actually worshipped, of course the Rabbanan will have to agree that such is, that we can't have any Hanor from such a Tzelem. The Rabbanan say that we don't have to make Zeris that slum in one place to another regarding a place where it is worshipped, from a place where it's not worshipped because of a place where it's worshipped. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Bandratim Shemalachim Shininu. When Rameyer in our Mishnah took the strict approach regarding Tzlamim, he's talking about the statues that were put up for kings that died. Rashi, when he speaks about the Drat Hashem Malachim, speaks about a king that died, and they used to put up a statue to commemorate him, and that's what the Gemara is referring to. Tosfos, quoting Rabbeinu Tam, says that we're not talking about a statue of a king that actually died. We're speaking about a statue of a king that's still alive. And they used to make statues, as he quotes, that we know the Gemara speaks about a statue that was made for Nuchanetzer, and they used to turn it into Avodah Zarah. And therefore, Emeis said that these types of statues become usher in every place, because if you're going to take a lenient approach, you may be lenient even in a place where it's not used for Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, Am Rabbah B'chana Am Rabbah Yochanan, Ova'omdem Apesach Medina Shanina. But what we're speaking about here is when we speak about the statue of the king that Ramei is strict about, it's only that those that are put in the entrance to the city. Because the fact that it was put at the entrance of the city, that is why it's an indication that it may be an Avodah Zarah, and be it's a sign of great honor, and that's why we have to take a strict approach. And the Mishnah L'Melech, in explaining this line of the Gemara, says there are three different ways that this line of Gemara could be understood. One way of understanding the Gemara is Rabbi Yochanan, and saying that it's not just dependent on a statue, it also has to be at the entrance to the city. And only when both of these conditions are met is there a problem. Another pshat is that, according to him, Rabbi Shmuel said that what we look at is a statue. According to this approach, Rabbi Yochanan says it has nothing to do with being a statue or not being a statue. What's critical is, where is this sculpture standing? If it's standing at the entrance of the city, we have to be machmer. If it's not, we don't have to be machmer. Another approach is that what Rabbi Yochanan says is that Rabbi Yochanan is adding to Shmuel. Shmuel spoke about a statue, and says Shmuel that every time we have a statue, we have to, according to Meir, we have to be concerned, a statue of a king. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan and says, yes, I agree with you, Shmuel, that a statue of a king is something to be concerned about, but I'm also going to add another thing that we should be concerned about. And the other thing that we have to be concerned about is something that is standing at the entrance to the city. And the fact that something is standing at the entrance of the city, that is enough of a reason to be concerned that it might be considered an Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, Am Rabba, says Rabba, Machloikis. The Machloikis that we had of Ramei and the Chachamim is Betzlamim, with the Shvil Kfarim, that the ones that are in the villages. He says that the ones that are in the villages are used for Avodah Zarah, and therefore we have to be strict about them. But and the Chachamim disagree that they're not used for Avodah Zarah, they're only used for ornamentation purposes. Alba Shel Krochim, the ones that are found in the cities, Divrei Hakol Mutarim. There, everybody would agree that we don't need to be concerned. Why don't we need to be concerned? L'noi Avdelhu. They're not made for a purpose of worship. They're only made to be a decoration. And since it's made to make a decoration, that's what's typical in the city. Says the Gemara Vakfarim. Says the Gemara, is there anybody that suggests that those that are in the villages, me ikalamanda amala noikavdilhu, is there anybody that's going to suggest that they're made just for decoration? The Kfarim, says the Gemara, certainly the ones that are in the villages, Fadilavdilhu, are certainly made for worship. And because of this question, says the Gemara, Eliyat Mahachyatma. Amarava, Machloikis Bekrochim, where do we find the Machloikis of Rameya and the Rabbanan? We find the Machloikis Rameya and Rabbanan only in the cities. That's where there's a question, is it made for decoration or is it made for worship? Al-Bashakfarim, the ones that are in the villages, there they are certainly made, Divrei HaKol Asurim, because they're certainly made for worship. And since they're certainly made for worship, we have to be machmer. This question comes up regarding all the various ornamentations that are put up before the non-Jewish holidays. What do we? How do we have to consider them? So again, we go back to the Ramah that we quoted earlier in our shiur. And according to the opinion of the Ramah, we don't have to assume that they're avodah zarah. However, there's a big machlokes here of the Shach and the Avinezer. The Shach's opinion is that we can't be so quick to suggest that they're not avodah zarah until we verify that they're not there for the purpose of being avodah zarah. But until we can verify that they're not there for the purpose of avodah zarah, we need to be concerned that they are there for the purpose of avodah zarah and not have any benefit from them. The Avni Nezer disagrees. Avni Nezer says what the Ramah means to say, that since these types of crosses, that's what the Ramah is speaking about, are not typically made for worship, so we don't have to be concerned that the cross that we're looking at was made for avodah zarah, unless we know, we have reason to believe, that was made for avodah zarah. Otherwise, we don't have to be machmer. We learned further in the Mishnah, v'chama me'ena surim, the only thing that's usur is a sculpture that has in it a stick, a bird, or a ball. And the Gemara discusses what is the significance of each one of these different things. Makel, says the Gemara, because it shows roidus atma tachas olam kula, that the whole world is under his dominion. Tzipor, what does the bird represent? Shetoifus atma tachas olam kula k'tzipor. He looks at himself as the entire world is under him, like the bird flies above the entire world. Kader, what does the ball, which represents the globe, represent? That the entire world is under his dominion. Says the Gemara Tana, Hasifin Aleim, they added different things. Saif is a sword, Atara is a crown, and Tabas is a seal. Saif, says the Gemara Mikarasova, they thought that Listen Balma, that the fact that you have a sculpture of somebody standing with a sword meant that this person was a thief, was an armed robber. He's trying to show that he could destroy the entire world. A Torah, originally an Atara, a crown, that the person who made the sculpture made a decoration of a crown around the person. As if he's a king who controls and is wearing a crown. Tabas, the Mikarasova, Ishtamaya Ba'alma. At the beginning, the ring only represented that he's wearing a ring as a piece of jewelry. However, he has the ability to seal the entire world's fate. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer says that if the sculpture is holding anything, that is a proof that it's an avodah zarah. Tana, says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is, afilu tzror, even if it's holding a piece of earth, afilu kisim, if it's holding a piece of wood, boy Ravashi tofes biyadei tzoya. If it's holding waste, mahu, says the Gemara. Mi amin kula amazilu ba'ape. Do we mean that what he's representing, that the whole world is meaningless to him? It's everything compared to him is like tzoya, is like waste. Aydama mi near the zil ape kula ama k'tzoya. Maybe he is meaningless, and therefore it's certainly not going to be considered an avodah zarah. And the Gemara says, Teku, the Gemara remains with a question regarding this situation, regarding this case, where you find the sculpture holding tzoya, what would be the halacha? Our Mishnah began, the previous Mishnah began, speaking about when we found sculptures that were whole. Now our Mishnah begins to discuss what's the halacha when we find broken sculptures. What is the status now? Says the Gemara, Motzi Shivrei Tzlamim, if somebody finds broken sculptures, Arei L'Matarim, because we have here a Sfek Sfeika. The first suffix is that maybe they were worshipped, maybe they weren't worshipped. And even if they were worshipped, the Nachri broke the Tzelem. What does the breaking the Tzelem represent? It represents that he was Mevatel the Tzelem, that he nullified this Avodah Zarah. And because we have the Sfek Sfeika, we have reason to be lenient. However, says the Mishnah, Matzah Tamnas Yad, if we find a sculpture of a hand, Tamnas Regal of a foot, Hare Eile Asurim, then it's Asur, Nei Kshiyotz Ben Neved. Many times do we find that these types of parts of the body are worshipped. Many Mepharshim explain the Pasuk in Tehillim, in Hallel, when we say, Yedei V'loy Mishun, Raglayim V'loy Relechem. The Pasuk, if we look in that Pasuk, the Pasuk sometimes says that Lahem, and here it doesn't say Lahem. What's the difference? So they explain that by other parts, the Pasuk says, Naim Lam V'loy Yishmo, Aflam V'loy Yerichun, Yedeim V'loy Mishun, Raglayim V'loy Relechem. When it says the word aznayim or af, it uses the word lahem. Yedeim and regleim doesn't have the word lahem. Why is it different? So he says that the Chanukas Chatayra says this. I heard the Gra said it. I saw it from the Panovich Rav. He says a yad or a regal by themselves, the Mishnah just said, are worshipped. So that's why it says the yad or the regal by themselves. But when we speak about the other parts of the body, only as we started the Mishnah earlier, when they're part of an entire body, is there a concern that they're avodah zarah. But if they're standing independently, we don't have to, as the Mishnah said, by those parts of the body, we need not be concerned. Amar Shmuel, says the Gemara, when our Mishnah says that we could be lenient on broken sculptures, it says Shmuel, we're not only speaking about broken sculptures, but a filo shivrei avodah chachamim. Even if we know something was worshipped as an avodah zarah, if it's broken, we could be lenient. It says the Gemara, but that's not what our Mishnah said. V'nantanan, our Mishnah explicitly said shivrei tzlamim, that we're speaking about shivrei tzlamim. How could we say that we're speaking about shivrei avodah chachamim as well? Answers the Gemara, what then a filo shivrei avodah chachamim? The halacha of the Mishnah applies even to broken pieces of avodah zarah. V'hadik tani shivrei tzlamim. Why did the Mishnah teach us the case of shivrei tzlamim? Says the Gemara. B'shun dekabayi l'misnah b'seifa. The Mishnah wanted to teach us the halacha that we just spoke about. The matzah tamnas yad tamnas regel arei l'surim neshkiyotz ben neved. So if the Mishnah would have said that we're speaking about avodah zarah, so we would think that only the yad and the regel of an avodah zarah is what is osur. But the yad and the regel of a tzelem, then we could be lenient. Teaches us the Mishnah that no, that when we're machmer about a yad v'regel, we're not only machmer on a yad v'regel of avodah zarah, we're even machmer on a yad v'regel of a tzelem. Tanan, as says the Gemara, we just learned, matzah, tamnus yad, tamnus regel, harei l'surim, Neshiyotz bei Neved. Amai, why would we say that? V'shvarim ninu, says the Gemara, and as we're learning now, once something is a shvarim, we have reason to be lenient, answers the Gemara, given all the questions that we explained when we learned the Mishnah, that when we see something broken, answers the Gemara, Targum Shmuel. Shmuel explains that we're speaking here about a case, v'oim dem al besisom. So Rashi says that They're standing on a base. And the fact that they're standing on a base is an indication that they are an avodah zarah. Tosfos disagrees. He says that the Mishnah says, Hamotzi shivrei tzlamim. So the Mishnah presumably is speaking about a case where you just found it anywhere, not on a base. And therefore he quotes the Beit Tam that they don't look like they're broken. Sometimes something looks like it was just broken, it was discarded. Here, it doesn't look like something broken and discarded, and therefore, the halach, that's why we have to be concerned that it's an avodah zarah. Itmar, says the Gemara, that the following halacha was discussed. Avodah kacham shenishtaber me'aleha, an avodah zarah that broke on its own. Rabbi Yochanan Masura, we may not have anah, we have to treat it as an avodah zarah. Rishim Allah kasham mutaris. And the Gemara explains the basis of this machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan Masura d'loy batla. The fact that we never saw a Nachri nullifying this Avodah Zarah. And since we never saw a Nachri nullifying this Avodah Zarah, we have to be concerned that it's still retaining the status of Avodah Zarah. We could assume that it's nullified. Why? Because Meima Amar, the Nachri, certainly says to himself, if it didn't have the ability to save itself, to prevent itself from getting broken, Lahu Gavra Matzla, does it have any power? And that's the proof that it's no longer an Avodah Zarah. So says the Ramban, according to this explanation that Reish Lakish is offering, even if the Nachri is not aware that his Avodah Zarah broke, it should still not be considered an Avodah Zarah. Because what is the concept that the Gemara just taught us? The Gemara just taught us a concept that the fact that the Avodah Zarah broke shows the Nachri that this Avodah Zarah doesn't really have a lot of value. Because if it had any value, how did it not prevent itself from being broken? And because we now see that this Avodah Zarah has no value, that's why it's automatically nullified. And therefore, according to that explanation, it doesn't require that the Nachri should be aware that his Avodah Zarah broke. The actual breaking kicks in this Svara, and therefore the Avodah Zarah is nullified. The Ravid disagrees. And the Ravid says that only when the Nachri saw that the Avodah Zarah is broken, and that gets him to realize that the Avodah Zarah is meaningless. Otherwise, not. Eisvei, asked Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, we spoke earlier in our Masechta about the story where the Plishtim captured the Aron of Hashem and they put it next to their Avodah Zarah called Dagon. And the Pasuk in Shmuel tells us, V'yashkimu b'abayt v'machas v'hine Dagon noifu l'fan of Arzal l'fnei Aron Hashem v'roish Dagon v'shtei kapas yod of cruces. They found their Avodah Zarah all broken. V'ksiv, says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, they don't walk there anymore because the broken pieces of the Avodah Zarah were found by the entrance to their house of worship. But according to Reish Lakish, asked Rabbi Yochanan, you say as soon as the Avodah Zarah breaks, it's no longer Avodah Zarah. I'm like, so Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, Misham Raya, you want to ask a question from that? Hasam, what happened over there was, Menichnas Adagan, they no longer worshipped the Dagan. They saw that the Dagan was meaningless. What they started doing was, Ovdim Samiftan, they started worshipping the entrance. Damri Hachi, Shafki Yisrael Adagan, the Avodah Zarah, the power, left the Dagan Avodah Zarah, and now V'asuv Esav Le'el Miftan, and now it's at the entrance. And therefore, they indeed, he says, stopped worshipping the Avodah Zarah because they realized that the Avodah Zarah at this point, they realized that the Avodah Zarah at this point has no power. The Ravid has a different pshat. He says that when the Mishnah says that they were worshipping, they weren't worshipping the actual Avodah Zarah. What they were worshipping was, says the Ravid, they were worshipping Dagon. We know that they believed, and many believed, that fish represent good mazel, and that's what they were representing, worshipping, but not the actual statue. Eisvei, ask the Gemara, the Bryce, we learned that our Mishnah Moshe, Tzivei, Tzlamim, Harei, Elu Matarim. So the question is, according to the Chachamim, what is the Mishnah teaching us? The Mishnah, the Masechta, the Perek began that the opinion of the Chachamim is that the actual of Tzlamim themselves are mutter. So certainly this should be mutter. Ha Shiva Avedus Chavim. It must be that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that by Shiva Tzlamim we could be lenient, because if we're lenient by Tzlamim, we're certainly going to be lenient by Shiva Tzlamim. Mishnah is coming to teach us that Shivrei Avodas Kochavim is a surim. But you, Reish Lakish, hold, as Rabbi Yochanan, that Shivrei Avodas Zara is also a mutter. Answers the Gemara, Loitem Shivrei Avodas Kochavim is a surim. Eleima Tzlamim Atzman is a surim. What the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that Shivrei Tzlamim are mutter, and certain, and so would be the halacha by Avodas Zara itself. And what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that the Tzlamim, when they're not broken, are Osir. Because our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rameya that we started the Perek, that says that we have to be Machmer, not just by Avodah Zarah, but even by Tzlamim. Ask the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan, says that Rameya holds that the Tzlamim are Surim, and the Shivrei Tzlamim are Torim. So ask the Gemara, by understanding the opinion of Rameyer, it should be helpful in being able to understand the opinion of the Rabbanan. Mid Rameyer Nishmal Rabbanan. Lav of Rameyer. Rameyer is teaching us that Tzlamim Asurim, Vishlam Shivrei Tzlamim Matarim. Rabbanan, who say that a Tzelim is Avodas Kochavim, Nami, Shi Yasura, the Mishnah speaking about even Avodah Zarah, and the Mishnah should be teaching us that Avodah Zarah is also Shvara Metarim. Hachi Hashta, says the Gemara, just because Rameya says something about Tzlamim doesn't prove what the Rabbanim will say about Avodah Zarah. Hosam, Eima Avdom, Eima Loi Avdom. When we have it Salem, we have a lot of questions, as we explained. First of all, we don't know if it was even worshipped. Vim Tim Tzlamim Avdom, even if they were worshipped, but now that they're broken, or the Nachri nullified it. Avodas Kochavim, we don't start with two questions. We know for sure that since it's an Avodah Zarah, the Vadei Avdua, that it was certainly worshipped. Mi Yem the Batla, it's only a question, now that it's broken, if it was nullified or not. Have a Suffolk, it's a Suffolk Uvadai. We have a Suffolk if it no longer has the status of Avodah Zarah. And we now know for certain at one point it was Avodah Zarah. So the question that we now have, that the fact that it's broken, which should maybe indicate that it's not an Avodah Zarah, is not strong enough. The Gemara tells us there's a rule that ain't Suffolk Mitzvah Vaday. We know for certain it's an Avodah Zarah. We have a question if it still is or it isn't. So we have to say that it is. Says the Gemara, so I saw that the Sefer Torah of us says like this. When somebody davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Ruchnius, that he should grow in Torah, he should grow in Avodas Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly listens to those tefillas. When somebody asks for Gashmius, we're not certain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to accept this, those tefillas. So when we daven for Ruchnius, it's a Vadai. It's for certain that our tefillah will be heard. When we daven from Gashmius, it's a Suffolk. So what the right thing to do is daven for Ruchnius, because that's the type of tefillah that we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to. And once we're guaranteed that that's the type of tefillah HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen, ain't Suffolk Maitzim Dei Vadai, Hashem will certainly also listen to our tefillah about the Gashmius as well. Ask the Gemara, is this true? That ain't Suffolk Maitzim Dei Vadai Vatanya, Chavar. Chavar, we always know, is a person that has the status of an individual who's careful on all the halachas. So, in order to understand this Gemara, the halacha is that in order for tefuah to be chayiv in trumas and maisris, we have to have a number of conditions met. One is that it has to have gemar melacha. It has to be completely finished being processed, which normally means that it's brought, that it's that miruach, that the top is smoothed out. And also has to be brought in through the front door. That's all we need to know as an introduction to this Gemara. The Braisa teaches us, chaver, a person who's a chaver. And the status of a person who's a chaver is a person that we know that all of his produce is properly taken off trumas and maisers. And this person, this chaver, Rachmana Utslan, died. V'niach Megura, and he had left over a warehouse full of grain. Malaya Paris, Afila and Bnei Yoimen, even if they were just there for one day, we don't know if they were if Trumas and Maisers were taken off or not. The Alach is Harei Becheskes Musukanim. We could assume that the Trumas and Maisers were taken off. Nezemachloikas Rishonim, what is the case here? Tosfos, quoting Yerushalmi, says that the person did not die suddenly. But if the person that died suddenly, then we always have to be concerned he didn't take off Trumas and Maisers. The Miri says that indeed is the opinion of the Yerushalmi, but the Miri says the Bavli disagrees. And the one the Gemara we're about to learn says that we can always be confident about the Truah of the Chaver, that Trumas and Maisers were removed. It doesn't make a difference under what circumstances he died. So it says the Gemara Arein Becheskes Musukonim. But ask the Gemara, why can we take that approach? For Hacha, the Vadit Tfili, we know that the produce certainly were Tevel. For Sofik, we have a Sofik Asrinu, Sofik Lo Asrinu, where mice was taken off a gnat. And yet we said, because of Sofik, the Sofik of Moisim De Vadai, and we could be assumed that the Trumas of mice were taken off. So we see that this rule of Sofik and Moisim De Vadai is not a hard and fast rule. There is a discussion, the Pnei Yeshua has a discussion. What are we talking about here? Because he says that we're talking about fruit. The chiyuv of fruit, maestros of fruit, is only the Rabbanon. There we have a rule of Sofik the Rabbanon Lekula. Now how could that be a proof to question when we have a question of the Raisa? And therefore he says we're talking here about produce that's chayv in Trumas and maestros with the Raisa. Says the Gemara, don't look at that situation as two questions. So rather, the way to look at it, hasa vade vadehu. We could be certain the vade asunim. We could be certain that the maaser was taken off. Why? As what Rav Chanina Chazar taught us, damar Rav Chanina Chazar, chazaka, we have a chazaka, al chavish enim oitzu davish enim tukus mitachs yadai. That a person, that the chaver never has in his possession something that isn't completely have the Trumas and Maisris taken off properly. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara Vibay Seima, another way of answering this question, that Sofik v'Sofiku, you're saying that it's a Vadai Tevo, it was certainly Chayiv and Tevo, and it's certainly Chayiv and Trumas and Maisris, and we have a Sofik if the Trumas and Maisris were removed. Says the Gemara, it's really a case of Sofik v'Sofiku. Defsher, we always could think to ourselves that maybe what this chaver did is what Rabbi Oshia said you could do. Rabbi Oshia said, you could always beat the system. And that is, you take the tefuah into your house when it's not completely processed. So as we said before, you're only chayiv in trumas and maisers if you brought it into your house after it was fully processed through the front door. But if it wasn't processed before it came into the house, the halacha is that a person should not eat from it an achilas kva. A person can eat from it an achilas saroy, like a snack. And an animal, or any type of eating that an animal does, is considered an achilas saroy. And since we can maybe assume that that's what the chaver did here, that the chaver wanted that his animals should be able to eat from this tefuah without having trumas and maisers taken off, and therefore he did this, and therefore if he did this, there's no chiv taking off trumas and maisers midaraisa, and therefore even if it wasn't taken off, it's only a sofik derabanan, and that's why we could be lenient. But when it's a real sofik, and we can't just be lenient. So, the Rishonim ask an obvious question. Our Gemara is speaking about a chaver. And we're defining that the definition of a chaver is a person who's scrupulous in his observance. So is a chaver the type of person who tries to beat the system and tries to bring in the produce in a way that they should be chayiv and meiser? How can we assume, as the Gemara is teaching us, that that might have happened? So the Tosfos Rit says that this person didn't try to completely beat the system. Of course, this person is going to take off Trumas and Maestris. But he's nervous, as we see that there is reason to be nervous, that maybe something will happen and the Trumas and Maestris will not be taken off. So in order to avoid that type of problem, what he does is that he takes into the house this fashion, he knows that there's no chiv d'oraisa. So the concern is much less. And that's why, even though he's a chaver, he does it this way. But not that he's looking not to give Trumas and Maestris. Of course, he's going to give Trumas and Maestris. He just wants to avoid any possibility. But, and therefore, it's only in Issa d'Rabbanan. And the way to understand the Gemara at this point is, by Issa d'Rabbanan, there we could indeed say, Sofek Moitzi Medei Vadai. But when we're speaking about a deraisa, like the Hanor from Avodah Zarah, the Gemara's question that we began with, that how can we allow the use of a broken Avodah Zarah, why is that not considered a case of Ein Sofek Moitzi Medei Vadai?